My guest at this time is Michael Lewin, former chief of staff for Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. He's a partner in the Washington office of Brown Rudnick, and he's a longtime Democratic activist and strategist. One of the big questions facing his beloved Democratic Party is how to move forward on comprehensive health care legislation. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, says she's not going to pass a bill without a public option. Many in the Senate say they can't pass one with a public option. So are we headed for a cooperative compromise? Are we headed for nothing at all because the two sides can't seem to find much common ground? And Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's happy to be with you on a lazy, hazy August day.
It certainly is. And we heard over the weekend, we've heard basically two consecutive weekends now from the Senate Budget Committee Chairman Ken Conrad of North Dakota that he thinks the public option can't pass in the Senate, certainly without a reconciliation option, which we'll talk about in a moment. Nancy Pelosi says her caucus isn't going forward without a public option. So just how much of a catch-22 are the Democrats in right now?
Well, look, it is a it's clearly true that a large part of the healthcare debate comes down to an intramural fight inside the Democratic Party. That's not to minimize the town halls going on around the country where many conservatives as well as liberals are out there vociferously voicing their points of view. That said, my conversations with many on Capitol Hill over the last few weeks of July and into these more quiet days in August suggest that the center has fallen out under any attempt to have large-scale health care reform, whether it's, as you point out, Ken Conrad's comments about the public option or things that were said over the weekend by Senator Lieberman, where right. He has called for a narrower piece of legislation to put forward insurance reforms as opposed to taking care in one fell swoop those who are uninsured and causing another $1 trillion to be spent out of our national wealth. My sense is at the end of the day, both Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leaders in the Senate and President Obama will have to accept a smaller health care reform bill, which they will be happy to get at that point in time and call it a victory. And indeed, it might really be a political victory for the president.
Michael, what Nancy Pelosi may be looking at here, at least some are saying this, is that she's got a huge margin in the House. It's a 60-40 split in the Senate. The president's probably not going to get better numbers than that after the midterm elections, although he may in the Senate. It's yet to be seen. But if they're ever going to go forward with the whole truckload, now's the time to do it. Is this, if they have to go the more conservative route here, basically saying that that can't be done in the near future?
Look, Nancy Pelosi's political arithmetic is exactly right. She will never have a larger majority than she has now. That said, it seems pretty clear to all of those of us who observe what's going on in American society generally that people do not want to pay for a very expensive health care reform, which would cost over $1 trillion over the next decade. And I think Speaker Pelosi and Harry Reid and the leaders in the Senate will have to scale back their expectations to meet what the American people really want, which is a package of insurance reforms to get rid of pre-existing conditions, to disallow insurance companies from throwing people off their rolls if they unfortunately happen to get sick. There are some very, very good things that the Democrats, working with Republicans in the House and Senate, can get done this year, in fact, perhaps even in the next month or two, that would be considered a real reform of the health care system. There'll be still plenty of work to do. We do need to cover the uninsured. It's a serious problem for a country as affluent and as educated as ours to have people who cannot get proper health care. But we will be able to deal with that once we can establish a sort of a bona fide connection with the American people that we did with the middle class of America, that we did something for them first. And I think you do that with a small package of insurance reforms, which I believe you can get through the United States Senate in a bipartisan fashion.
Michael, let's look at the political ramifications of this. First of all, you had some union leaders, I believe the SEIU last week, saying no public option, we're sitting out 2010. It seemed like that's where the administration started to once again get more excited about the public option when Kathleen Sebelius had said it's on the table and it's not necessarily an essential component. What would be the impact of big labor sitting out, and would they actually sit out?
They'll never sit out. The stakes are too high. They have too many things going on in too many other areas. I mean, just the requirements that labor has in terms of increasing the minimum wage, changing job standards, repetitive work rules, all sorts of other things that labor justifiably would like to see happen in American society. Nobody sits out the next election. The stakes are too high. Labor will get in full force. They may pick or choose some Democrats to support or not support, but overall, I would guarantee you now that labor's contribution in terms of money and manpower in 2010 will be every bit as large as it was in 2008 and previous elections before that. They haven't labored, if you will, this hard for so many years to give up the Democratic majority in the House and also in the Senate. They will be at the table fighting the good fight for the Democratic Party next year.
And, Michael, if there is a more modest brand of health care reform that passes rather than the huge bill that everyone's debating right now, will that likely bode better for Democrats in the midterm elections, or are they still going to face quite a few difficult seat defenses?
Well, they'll face difficult defenses of certain seats because those seats are vulnerable because of the nature of the constituency. We have elected probably 30 or 40 Democrats in seats that arguably should be Republican. These seats, even if Obama was wildly popular and is wildly popular when the election comes around, will still be very, very considered very marginal in the 50-50 range. Midterm elections, with very rare exceptions, though George Bush did have such an exception a few years ago, argue against the party in power. Democrats will probably lose some seats, but it won't be just because of health care. It'll be because the political dynamics of the district are such that it's time to put a Republican back in that seat, or other things that may develop in our society. I mean, you know, the American people right now could go either way between Democrats and Republicans. They're really angry at both political parties because of the deficit that we've run up, because of the bailouts of the banks, the auto companies, and lots of other ways they think their wealth and their future is being given away by the political leaders of both parties. So it's probably not a good time to be an incumbent of either party as we approach the 2010 election.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch, but a long way to go, including what happens on health care and so forth in the very next few weeks here. Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
Happy to be with you, Greg.
Michael Lewin, longtime Democratic activist and strategist, partner in the Washington office of Brown Rudnick, former chief of staff to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. This is Dateline Washington.